Look with me there, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I want you to look with me in Luke 16, verse 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The Bible said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I want to try, God to help me preach on the Lazarus spirit, or the life of Lazarus. There's three things I want to mention that's in the life of Lazarus here, or his life, spirit, that will be in a child of God. If you look at the difference between this man, Lazarus, and the rich man that was in the record as well, you see such a difference in these men. You see a different lifestyle in these men. But there's something in Lazarus that God had shown me this morning that's in every child of God, if they've really been saved, that's in them this morning. I want to say, first of all, you look at the name Lazarus, it goes to an Old Testament name, and it basically means God is my helper. The word Lazar in the English means afflicted. That's what it means. But when I look at this scripture here, there's some things about this man that, when I look at this, it's definitely sure that in every child of God, there's these things that's prevalent at salvation and even now in that man's life. I want to say, first of all, he had a begging spirit. He was a beggar. The Bible said he was a certain beggar. A beggar was somebody that asked for something they did not have.
Right.
Amen. I mean, this man was a beggar. He begged. Amen. The Bible said here he was a certain beggar named Lazarus. That's right. He's had a need. A beggar has a need. If a man don't never see he has need, he's never going to do any begging. Amen. I tell you this, if a man's saved, he's still a begging. Amen. He's still begging for God. He's still begging for the things of God. He's still begging for God to meet his every need. I tell you, if a man's never gotten begging shape, he's never been saved. When a man gets in begging shape, that's when he's in good shape. Thank God. Friend, I tell you this, when men get saved, they come as a beggar. They come empty. They come as nothing. They come without nothing. They don't have nothing. You had nothing to offer God. You had to come as a beggar. Lazarus was a beggar. He had a beggar spirit. And a man will have to come like that. We'll have to get here. If we're going to be saved. A guilty sinner. A lost sinner. Thank God, undone without God. I see yourself in without hope. Amen. The only hope is the mercies of God. Has God come where he's at? Has God shown mercy on him? Thank God, to get that beggar saved. Amen. To get where God is. You're going to have to get that pagan shape. And see yourself. As God sees you. He had a pagan spirit. in that begging chain, he'll never get saved.
That's
right, I got that begging chain. I wanted God. I wanted Him in my heart. You get in that begging chain, you want God. Amen. I tell you what, you think about the Bible. Think about this. There's a few people in the Word of God. Think about that publican. That stood outside there, that Pharisee, as that Pharisee rolled off that list of things that he didn't do or he had done. And that other man begged. He said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He got that money saved. Hey, we're trying to call sinners in to get saved. And they never have got that begging saved. They'll have to get that begging saved. I'll never let them ever get that begging saved. Hey, you don't have to tell them anything. They'll get under conviction. And they want some, amen. Just to get that conventional fold, just to get right with God, just to not get in hell, just to go to hell. If a man ever gets in that very chain, I'll tell him I'll do it by the Lord, and he'll be God to save him. That's right. You get that begging chain. Lazarus was a beggar. Notice this, there was a man that sat by the highway side begging. His name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he heard Jesus was coming through. Amen. And he heard Jesus coming through, and he got to begging, thank God, for the Lord to have mercy on him. You know, before his begging over there by the wayside begging, he has wanting somebody to put something in his cup. He has wanting somebody to give him something. But thank God when Jesus come through, he got to begging for mercy. He got to begging. Hey, friend, he said, now, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need the mercy of God. I'm a blind man. I need the mercy of God. I'm lost. I need the mercy of God on me. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I said, you remember that day you got in that begging shape? Hey, man, you remember that day you got in that begging shape? Thank God that all, hey, it's thank you, God. He brought you down low, thank God. And showed you you didn't have nothing. Thank God, showed you couldn't produce nothing. Showed you couldn't do nothing. All you could do was beg. I tell you what you had to do to get saved. You had to get in begging shape. You had to get in shape and beg God to have mercy on your soul. If you lost this morning, it's because you never have God. Not in begging shape. If you ever see you, I don't have nothing, and you beggar. Thank God, like this man was. He's laid out the side of the gate at the rich man's house. He laid there, friend, and he got to begging. Thank God for something to eat. He didn't have nothing to eat. I tell you, get to in bad shape. I'm seeing you about to go down. Thank God, you get to begging. We just need to get back to truth and see men need to beg again. Amen. That they might get saved. That's right. That's right. He needed to be begging. Thank God. I tell this rich man, though, that went to hell, he begged too late. Notice verse 24, he said, Father Abraham, which he was a Jew, and he recognized Abraham and his father, he said, have mercy on me. Oh, it's too late. He was too late. How many people is in hell today that's crying for mercy? But it's too late. They didn't beg till they got to hell, friend. I tell you, you better beg while you can. You better beg while you can. You got too much pride to beg. People said, I never would beg. You get to beg and you'll get saved. Hey, God, you come, my friend, like you got something to offer God. You come like you're something. You come like you got all these accolades. Church membership, all that. Hey, God, you have to get below that. You have to get to begging shape. If you ever get saved, you have to beg. I tell Lazarus out there begging. Any man ever got saved, he got in begging shape. Amen. That's right. And I tell you, after you get saved, you'll be in the begging shape. That's right. Thank God. When's the last time you begged God something for something?
Amen.
That's right. When's the last time you begged God for something? That's right. So he had a begging spirit. That's right. Then I'll say this, he had a poor spirit. He had a poor life. He didn't have nothing. You know these men that brought this man Lazarus, and they just kind of
laid him down at the gate of this rich man. That gate was that gate outside that house. It separated the house, thank God, from the outside. And Lazarus went to the outside of that gate, and he laid there at that rich man's gate, and he laid there, friend, not having nothing. Amen. Thank God, this, no doubt his clothes were rags. No doubt he didn't have no dwelling place that was of anything. No doubt he didn't have nothing. It's laid outside of the rich man's gate as a poor man. I tell you, you don't find many poor people today. Thank God, no, but not like it used to be. In the times of the Bible, there were men that literally were poor. Thank God, my friend, their fortune wasn't, thank God, as good as some others had. But I tell you, friend, every man's got to get poor if he's going to get saved. Every man's got to see himself poor. He can't be saved unless he sees himself a poor man. Amen. That's right. Get this, what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what they see? They see themselves as sinners and poor apart from grace.
Right.
Boy, can I knock you down to where you at this morning? You're a poor person without grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you would all be poor this morning spiritually. If it wasn't, thank God, the sovereign God of heaven deciding to come where you was at, and in love, thank God, done something you couldn't do for yourself, and had mercy on your soul, and brother loved you, thank God, when you was unlovable. Hey, man, you never have it. I'm telling you, you're a poor man without grace. You can possess everything the rich man had. You can live in a big house and drive a big car and have everything the world's got to offer. But I tell you, if you don't have grace, you're a poor man. If you don't have God, you're a poor man. He might not possess a lot here, but thank God he is a rich man over there. I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, you'll have to be poor if you've got to be rich. Amen. That's right. Thank God. That's right. I'm telling you, that's right. You have to come poor. You got to see yourself as nothing and poor. Amen. You know what? We're building men up too much, and we got too much in our own self to think we're something. Right. You know what? You have to be poor to the love and lust of this world. He didn't have no things of this world. You know what the Bible said? He said the rich have many friends. The poor is a despised man, friend. If he don't have something that can benefit somebody, then they not going to mess with him. That's why they threw that Lazarus out there. Hey, man, thank God I got to thinking about this thing. That anybody gets saved, he's got to be poor toward the world. That the world can't satisfy. The world can't get peace. The world can't, thank God, get grace. That the world out there, friend, is only the enemy of God. But God said, them that love the world is an enemy of God. That if a man's going to love the world, he can't love God this morning. He's going to have to become poor toward the world. That when you look at that man, you say, Mr. Lazarus, what do you have? He said, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. Where's your goods at, son? Where are you? What you got? He said, I don't have nothing. Not in this world. But everything's on the other side. That's right. Why y'all so caught up in this world? Why y'all so caught up in this world? Why y'all so caught up in everything about the world? What you have. All these possessions that I can hold, and this is mine. And people actually fight over possessions of this world. I mean, if it come down to the Bible and come down to spiritual things, they wouldn't stand there to defend the great truths of God. They'd rather concerned about what I got in this world.
Amen.
Lay outside the gate. Thank God. He's a poor man. He don't have nothing of the world. Amen.
Right.
That's right. If you get saved, you have to become poor.
Right.
You have to become poor. You don't. I'm not talking about sell what you have and give to the poor like the rich man Jesus told to do, which he couldn't do because he loved money and the riches of this world more than he wanted God. He said, there's one thing you lack, sir. And he said, let's sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And he couldn't do it. You know why? Because God didn't give him the grace to do it because he didn't act upon what God told him to do. If he'd have done what God said, God'd give him the grace to do it.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, I can do it. You can't do it. You can't quit sinning.
No.
God's got to give you grace upon the act that you when you step into light, God gives you. Amen. That's why the disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with me, and it's impossible. What was he saying there? He said, what I told that man was impossible for him to do. But what I can do with him, it's not impossible. And what grace I can give him to give up him riches and sell what he has and inherit eternal life and inherit the things of God. Isn't it good? I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm trying to get us to be old-time Christians and old-time church. Thank God, instead of an uptown church or something, my friend, we base everything on what the outward is. That's what we got on the inside. I've got some treasures in my heart. Hey, man, I run with that crowd. Thank God that's got some treasures in the heart. That don't have to be entertained. I don't have to have the world. Amen. Yes, man didn't have no friends. Thank God, but he had God. Amen. That's right. He was poor. He didn't have nothing. You know what? You have to come to God poor. You have to come bankrupt. You have to come with nothing in your hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Lazarus laid at that gate as a poor. Really, the word beggar and poor goes in the same sentence here. What Jesus say? He said the poor has the gospel preached to them. Poor and in need of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. How poor are you in this world? If this world is what your affection's on, and this world is where your love is, then you're not rich in heaven. Why? How many times did the Lord say, lay not up yourselves treasures on this in this world where thieves break through and steal? Wonder why Paul said, set your affection on things above and not things below. Oh, I know we have to have things to meet the need. He said, with food and raiment therewith to be content. He told his own men that.
Yeah.
He said, if you got two coats, give one away. Amen. That's why he said. He said, be content. He told his soldiers to be content with your wages.
Right.
Is that what he said? Boy, I tell you, we don't live in too much of a content day, do we? We don't live in contentment. I'm just not satisfied. I tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ could go a whole lot further if we'd have had a lot of more sense in when we spend our money. God help. I told my wife the other day, I said, reckon what kind of house Martha and Mary and Lazarus had. Reckon it was a mansion? I'd say not, just a common dwelling place to meet their need. While she sat at his feet, didn't have a TV to watch, didn't have games to play, just sat at his feet. Huh? You got to come poor if you're going to live for him. That means you've got to have to be poor from the world and the goods of the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world. God's man said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. Lazarus was a poor man, but he was rich in God. I want to say this. Mr. Spurgeon said this. He said, see themselves no account in their own eyes. They are of the blood royal of the universe. You know what independent Baptists is developed people today? You're something. You're something. By grace. Listen, God, I'll tell you what I believe. You better know who you believe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we are. We're nothing with the rim knocked out. Nothing's good about us, and we nothing.
That's right.
It's just by the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, friend, when God come and got me, I was a poor, lost, hell-bound, undeserving sinner that God ought to cut off and put me in the lowest hell wherever a man should go. Brother, I'm telling you, had mercy on me. He got me down to I was poor, and I didn't have nothing. And brother, I didn't have nothing I could hold on to. And then He showed me a son. And when He showed me a son, thank God I realized that's where the riches are. Amen. You know, there's not many people got any absolutes in their life.
That's right.
What you boys got absolute in your life? What you got? Well, I got some money. That's not absolute. I got a good job. That's not absolute. I got a good house. That's not absolute. I got cars. That's not absolute. There's no worldly things that's absolute. Say, so what you got absolute in the King James Bible? Promises of God, the Holy Ghost witness. Thank God, that's what Jesus Christ. Thank God's the pearl of great price. I've had some absolutes. I got some. Thank God they're just not like most of people's. Like old Mr. Whitley told me one time, not many people think like you do. I sat in the lawyer's office one day. Cecil, my friend, when I see him. He said, I was talking to him about a car. I was sitting there, he said, how you doing? I said, good, God saved me. I got to testify to him. I talked to him by 10 minutes. He listened to me. After I got through, he just laid his pen down, looked at me, said, you know, and there ain't many people believe the way you do. I said, you got that right. You know why he ain't poor?
That's right.
You got to bow poor. That's what's wrong with the rich ruler. He wouldn't bow broke.
Yeah.
He wasn't willing to break himself to come to eternal life. That broke him if he'd give everything away. Amen. I mean, it'd break you this morning. If the Lord said, sell what you have, give to the poor and come follow me, I wonder if it'd be worth eternal life. I wonder if it'd be worth having your soul saved. I wonder if it'd be worth gaining Christ and losing the world. Just can't bow poor no more, brother. He bowed poor. He was a poor man. He had a begging spirit. He had a poor spirit. Get this. He had an humble spirit. You know what he desired? The crumbs. You spoke on it this morning, Brother Joe. The crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He didn't demand nothing. He just desired it. He said, if I can have the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table, I mean just the crumbs, let me have the crumbs. That's when they took that bread and, like he said, wiped her hands with it and the crumbs fell. Crumbs? You wouldn't go in a restaurant and say, I'll take the crumbs, would you? But that's what he wanted. Yeah. Have you ever had to eat crumbs?
Yeah.
I mean, had to. Have you ever thought about this, what he talked about this morning? True Lord talked about He don't give bread to the dogs, being Gentile people. She said, true, Lord, but the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. You know what she was saying? I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs that fall from the master's table that calls him crumbs. Thank God, it's better than anything the world can feed me. And here he is laying outside the gate. Don't you know people walk by and say, that's a poor example. That man sitting out there outside the gate. Now, I'll tell you why I think the dogs were out there. I think the dogs were out there because they was waiting on the crumbs too. Yeah, I believe they was out there. I don't believe the dogs just come for a reason. They come to eat the crumbs too. In fact, can I say it like this? The dogs were out there to get the scraps.
Yeah.
Y'all feed your dog scraps sometimes. Some people's too finicky about their dog. They treat them like a person.
Yeah.
God help you.
Yeah.
I don't want to get on that this morning. God help. I'm trying to preach about Lazarus, but it just aggravates me. People kissing their dog, all that foolishness. Treat them like they're king or queen. I saw the other day where they had pet graveyards and all this foolishness. You can bury them, cremate them or something.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what's wrong with people today. They ain't got no common sense. I told my wife, and God, don't let me chase too many rabbits. Say, preacher, don't. I told my wife the other day, I said, could you imagine your grandfather, I'm talking about back in the 20s, going to the grocery store and say, hey, I want some water that's in a bottle. And I buy it now. I'm crazy too, I reckon. Here's a man that's sitting by the gate, and there's a bunch of dogs around, and he's sitting there, and they're waiting on the rich man's scraps from his own table. He humbled himself to lay around the gate. Thank God, with a bunch of dogs that came and licked his sores, his ulcers on his own body, because nobody cared for him. Listen to me. Let me knock some self-righteousness out of you. I'm against sin like you are, but let me knock something out of you. There's very few people that's willing to sit with somebody that don't have nothing. There's very few people that's willing to sit with somebody that's a sinner. And I'm not talking about to engage in their sin. I'm talking about sit with them to try to help them. You know why? You've got too much P-R-I-D-E in you, and you think you're better than what you really are.
Yeah.
What you ought to do is get on your knees and crawl to the altar this morning and ask God to forgive you, because you ain't got a begging spirit, you ain't got a poor spirit, and you don't have a humble spirit.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, if anybody ever gets saved, they're going to have to humble themselves. And if you don't humble yourself, you'll never get saved, because God says only the humble get grace. And when God gives grace, He gives it to the humble. You know what the rich man said? I'm not going to be numbered with that man out there. I'm not going to be numbered with him. What if somebody walked in and one of his rich men buddies said, who's that old man out there beside your gate? He's that some old beggar been laying out there. I wish he'd go somewhere else. He's going somewhere else you don't know about. He's about to die and the angel's going to carry him. Because he's a humble man. Are you humble? Your spirit humble? He didn't put himself above others. Jesus humbled himself and was numbered with the transgressors. He had a humble spirit. You know, you really can't produce what I'm preaching. It's got to be God to do it.
Yeah.
I can take you to people, and I'm not just talking about people that's just chose to do this, but I can take you to people that do have something in this world that's what I'm preaching they got because they've been saved. I'm not preaching that we should be paupers in this life. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching we ought to be paupers in spirit. I'm not preaching that we should, my friend, thank God, be out here on the street begging. That's something that we ought to be begging toward God. That's what I'm preaching. That's what Lazarus, he had that begging spirit. He had that, thank God, that humble spirit. And when he seen him, he, thank God, laid out there at the gate. And when them dogs came, they licked his sores. And that was the only doctor he had. That's the only medicine he had. Thank God, was the tongue of them dogs licking on his sores. And he was a humble man. Thank God, it didn't bother him who walked by to see it. He wasn't trying, my friend, to win the award, being the most popular. He has just wants some help. Amen. And I found this out in the church. When people want to be popular, that probably makes God sick.
Yeah.
When people want to be seen or be heard, they're not humble. I can take you to some old saints She's got everything I preach this morning. That's in their life. That you can feel grace in their heart. Because they're beggars, they're poor, and they're humble. And I'm not talking about with a physical eye. I'm talking about with the spirit. I could take you to time and time again. I've seen old people. I'm talking about saints, gray haired saints. Man, you'd go in their house and you'd feel like you was walking into heaven sometimes. They might have had a couple chairs in the room and a coffee table, a Bible on it, a couple rooms here and there, one bath. I got 2.5. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just making a statement. It wasn't the world's goods that made it feel like heaven.
No.
It was just that spirit.
Amen.
Yes. You know what? You ever recognize this? It was a spirit of love too. You went to your grandparents' house or your great-grandparents' house. It was just something in that house that was a spirit of love. And we tried to figure that out, but in that pride, they didn't judge who come in. Thank God they loved who come in. And brother, they'd receive sinners and try to pray with them and weep with them and love them. And they lived a life. They didn't have to wear no signs or t-shirts or say anything about a Christian. Amen. They just testified by how they lived, what they were. And they lived a humble life. They lived a loving life. And when you went to it, thank God you didn't want to leave. Amen. They just knew how to live. And Lazarus didn't have nothing in this life. He didn't have nothing. If Lazarus even had a family, there wasn't nothing he could leave behind to his children but the spiritual things that God had put in his heart. And the Bible said, thank God, about this man, and it said, and the beggar died. Notice this, the beggar died. He died. The Bible said he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. As one man put it, heavenly pallbearers received him and he went to paradise.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Heavenly pallbearers, angels. That's what it says. And now this man that in his life was a beggar, and a poor man and a humble man, he'll never have to beg again. He'll never have to be poor again. You know what? You might be more rich than what you really think you are. You really might have more than what you think you got. You look at everybody else and say, what am I having? It's what I don't have. I tell you, you might be rich more than what you think you are if you really look what riches are. You boys get married one day, I hope you have a nice house. I hope you don't have a house where you can't pay for it. But don't let the pressures of the world say you've got to be up with somebody else. Realize the wealth you have is in Christ. God blesses you with a nice one, a big one. Thank God, walk in it, sing Amazing Grace. Amen. The beggar died. Was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Now he's comforted.
Yeah.
He's blessed.
Yeah.
Because he's with Abraham and the saints of God. That's right. A rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. You know what that word, if you look it up there, the rich man died and also was buried. It said, don't never say that about Lazarus being buried. He didn't even have a funeral. He didn't even have a preacher to stand up and say any good things about him. As far as they knew, they just threw him in a trash heap. Threw him aside. Thank God, like to do any kind of old waste. They just threw him out on the pile, no doubt somewhere like that. And the rich man died and was buried. You know what that word means? It means they had funeral rites for that man. They probably had, he was probably a member of the Masons and every other organization and society that made him look good. But he died lost. He died without God. And can I tell you this? That man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Even though that played a part in it, because he wasn't willing to give it up. But he died and went to hell because he didn't have no faith in Christ. He died without faith. That's right. The man lift up his eyes in hell. It's where a lot of people's going today, hell. It's where a lot of people be when they wake up in hell. It's a torment. It's a place of torment. That's what he said. And the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I've told this story before. Man, I like it. It's just a good story. This old circuit riding preacher had been out there preaching, riding them mountains of preaching the Word of God. He was poor too. Most men in them days were poor, and he was riding that circuit, and he preached several meetings, and they gave him a little bag of money, and he stuck it in his pocket, and he got back on the horse and was headed back home. Said when he went down a little way, you know, he took that bag out, looked in the bag, and he just saw he just had a little bit of coins in there. Wasn't much offering. He got discouraged and down and said, "Lord, I've been preaching all this week and this is all I got." And he said, "You know what I need? I need a new pair of shoes and my family needs some things." He said, "I sure thought I'd get more than this." And he went on discouraged, riding that horse. And he come upon a little valley there. And there's a little old girl out there in a toe sack dress jumping up and down. She was happy, and he thought, "I'd stop and just see what she's happy about." So he stopped and he said, "Little girl," he said, "I saw you jumping up and down here." And he said, "I mean, you're happy." And he said, "What you so happy about?" And she said, "Mister," she said, "this is where I live. I live in this little old shack. Just a little old shack by the road." And she said, "Mister, this man that owns this mansion on the hilltop up here, he just died the other day." And she said, "We just got the news this morning that he willed that mansion to us." And she said, "Wouldn't you be happy, mister, if you was going to leave a shack in the valley and move to a mansion on the hilltop?"
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why we don't rejoice in the church. We too eat up with the world. We just too eat up with the world. We not poor. You know why them old people prayed their food in? They prayed for everything. They didn't have nothing. They prayed everything in. That's why you can go to your parents' house down there and that little old fan's going and they sitting there in a chair. Just sitting there and see all them pictures on the wall, like all them old people put up pictures all over the house. I mean family pictures everywhere. They say, "Now wait a minute, that was him when he was 7 years old. They could tell you every age they were and everything about him." And they just sat there content. Just sat there. And it's so peaceable. It's so peaceable.
Yeah.
And somebody'd walk in there and say, some old rich, prideful person say, "You ain't got much. They got more than you got. They got God."
Yes.
And I'll tell you what they can say about Lazarus this morning. "Well, he wasn't nothing but an old beggar, and he was poor, and he let the dogs lick the sores, and he didn't have much." They didn't know what he had on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
He had a mansion on the hilltop. He had riches unseen, treasures unseen. Thank God for being saved. Thank God for being saved. I'll tell you what, if you're going to get saved, you'll have to be a beggar, you'll have to be poor, and you'll have to be humble if you're going to get saved. You know, there's a lot of people that suffer in this life. He did. He had sores, dogs licked him, didn't have nothing. In the natural life, they look like they're suffering. But in God's eyes, they at peace. That's right. What about you this morning? You got any of these characteristics? Huh? Have you kind of got prideful and rich in your own eyes? Pride in your life. You're not a beggar no more. You don't do no begging. Oh, God, help us. Holy Ghost, work in us. I remember Brother Milby telling me this, and I'm through. He went to a big names preacher's house, and he said, Brother Hyde, he said, before he was a big name preacher, before he had money, he said, I went to his house, preached revival meeting. The first time I ever went, they said, Preacher, we don't have a lot. The little old table there was set up and wasn't much of nothing on it. But they cried over their beans and potatoes and thanked God for them and said, Thank you, Lord. He said he got to be a big time preacher. And the next time he went, there were chandeliers hanging down, these big tables and all this big food on the table. And he said it was just as cold could be. And they bowed their head to pray. I'll tell you what happened. Pride. Wealth. Done crippled their heart. From being thankful and loving toward God. God, help us not to get there. No matter when riches increase and things increase in our own hands. I'll tell you tonight, thank God this morning we ought to have a poor spirit.
Amen.
Let's stand this morning.